Hi, I'm Alex.
And I'm Tom. And on this episode of Flash in the Pan, I am diagnosing you with HPV.
We grew up in a world of online animation. And we're digging you out for your consideration. Bringing you the tunes that made us who we am. Flash in the Pan. Flash in the Pan.
Welcome to another long-awaited episode of Flash in the Pan.
Welcome back.
We are braving the insomnia-slash-hypersomnia-plagued atmosphere that isolation has imposed on all of us.
Yeah.
Would you like to sleep 2 hours a night or 14 hours a night? You can't choose anymore.
No. Or you can do what I do, which is continue to sleep the same amount of hours in the night, but don't actually get out of bed until, like, 12, 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
Wow, lucky you. That sounds like paradise.
Yeah.
But hey, we managed to cobble together enough brain cells to do a podcast. And this podcast is about Flash animations, yeah. You know? Animation stuff from the before times. From the before times, yeah. From the before times. And it's going to be fun, and you're going to come on this journey with us and forgive us for our slapdash introduction, because, you know, we're all under a lot of stress right now.
So go easy on us, please.
Please be kind. And if you want to be kind, you can be kind to us by visiting our website, which is flashinthepancast.com, where you can find links to all the cartoons we talk about, as well as all of our previous episodes. Wow!
Wow, the internet still works. God.
Don't jinx it. Anyway, we're going to be starting off with an ancient 20-year-old classic. Yeah, this was sent in by ZS, who emailed to say, "Hello, audio lovelies. I just remembered this was a thing. Okay, bye."
Thank you for that.
Thank you for that. It's Lobster Magnet, and we're going to watch it right now.
I loved it.
I believe that was the true cult death metal that we've all been searching for.
Yeah, definitely.
Circa 2000.
So, wow.
So
death metal really hasn't changed much, has it?
I don't know. You got some blackened screams in there.
That's not fair. That's not fair.
So you enjoyed this?
I did. Yeah.
It's so silly, but so fun.
Which is, I think, that really kind of encapsulates most of the Flash stuff that we look at.
Most of the good stuff.
Most of the good stuff. If it's good, it's kind of funny and self-aware.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
which
I think
this is.
It is. It's interesting because this is exactly the kind of really stupid, surreal song that 30 years earlier would have been like a Monty Python swing number.
God, yeah. Or something. Actually, yeah.
So the basic premise is the lobster is a magnet.
Yeah, or lobster has a magnet.
No, the lobster is a magnet because, as it says, as it screams at the end of the track, left claw south, right claw north. Wait, no, left claw north, right claw south. Because it's one of those U-shaped magnets, a horseshoe magnet. The lobster savages its prey.
Yeah.
Which is your eye.
And your ear.
And your ear. Using its beak and claws. Because the lobster has a beak. It's really silly. But it's the inspired kind of silly. This is the pre-Monkey Cheese sort of silly. where it's not just the throwing random funny words at each other to see if they stick. Like, they kind of follow through on the premise.
Yeah.
Like, they start with, okay, it's a lobster magnet. Then how does this lobster magnet behave? How does it feed? Is it dangerous? The answer is yes.
To all of those questions.
To all of those questions, yeah. And it's fun. And
it is.
They perform it with some garage band energy.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
As always, you're our music correspondent.
Yeah.
Over to you. You have the floor.
The bass drum is way too high in the mix. I don't know how they managed that. It just you can hear it peaking.
Yes.
Yeah, like that is impressive. Like everything else is fine except the bass drum is way too loud. I don't know how they managed that.
Maybe that it was closest to the microphone.
But potentially.
I mean, this is 2000, so this would have been using, you know.
Yeah, it's like an amateur recording from like 2000, so obviously I'm going to cost it a tremendous amount of slack. But like, still pretty good though. For an amateur recording of like a death metal song from like 20 years ago, that's pretty fucking good.
Yeah, I believe that raw sound is what a lot of purists still look for in certain subgenres.
I don't really listen to death metal, so
well,
not
nobody's
not,
perfect.
No, not my scene. Not that there's anything wrong with death metal.
I mean, if there were more songs like this in the scene.
Yeah, then I'd maybe be a little bit more into it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's nice. And there's just the juxtaposition of, you know, this very intense, very, very emotionally fraught, you know, very aggressive sound paired with it's a lobster.
Lobster
magnet.
Magnet.
Yeah.
I'm so glad you're here to explain that lobster is a magnet.
Yeah.
Because that I got lost in the narrative.
Alex, the title of the animation is Lobster Magnet.
But it said lobster has a magnet at one point. I'm sure it did.
Okay, let's go back through this. No, it says you got the lobster and you got a magnet.
Okay, so my brain passed those as two separate things.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, generally they are.
Yeah, the magnet's made of iron, the lobster's made of meat.
Yeah.
I suppose you combine the two.
Right, okay. So, okay, right, so you combine the two. How? How?
You tap them together and there's a flash of light.
Oh, right, yeah.
At least in the animation.
At least in the animation, yeah.
Yeah. The animation itself, very simple, but it works.
It does, yeah.
You know, it's cute. It's got the bouncing ball on the lyrics, which I will never not appreciate.
It doesn't really need to be like super flashy or complicated. Like, it doesn't need to be like a super detailed animation, because the star of the show is the music, and the video is just accentuating that.
It is, but it's still got a decent sense of comic timing. Like the, you know, where it says. Says the rabbit's made of steel, and suddenly it's made of steel. And then lobster has a beak exactly on the frame that the word beak starts, the beak appears.
Yeah.
And then right at the end, you've got the ship very slowly coming toward the iceberg. It's nice.
I don't really get what the ship's got to do with the rest of.
Well, the lobster went swimming, and the implication is that the lobster is responsible for the ship sinking.
Wow.
Because the lobster is extremely dangerous.
I'm really glad you're here to explain the narrative of this less than a minute and a half video to me, because...
It's okay. It's okay. You know, it's not like you have a film degree.
No, it's not like I literally went to film school and got a degree.
Look, all I'm saying is that if Wes Anderson took this project on, then it would be a very different experience.
I got an A on an essay for The Big Sleep, and I can't understand lobster magnet.
I think we've basically covered everything.
I think we've covered it.
It's not the deepest pool to wallow in, but it's...
Lobster has a beak.
Yeah,
lobster
it's fun.
Made of metal. No, lobster made of meat. Magnet made of metal.
Magnet made of iron.
I really...
Do you need to learn
I really need to, I need to go away and process this, apparently.
Okay. Well, while you're processing it,
okay.
Maybe it's time for us to all learn something about Lobster Magnet,
mm-hmm.
because it's time for some Flash. So Lobster Magnet was animated by Ben Apgar. The song was recorded by Ben Apgar and his good friend Gary Norman, okay. spelt with three R's. Gary
Norman.
In the credits, which I assume is deliberate.
I guess, yeah.
So they had a website, 512productions.com. I cannot find it anywhere. Oh. It's overrun with porn bots and that kind of stuff, according to Ben's profile on Newgrounds,
uh-huh.
Which is Rush 22. According to that profile, he's now 40, which means that he would have been about 20 when he recorded this, which makes sense.
Yeah.
Lobster Magnet is not that popular on Newgrounds.
Right, okay.
But it does have a sort of very small but loyal cult following. Every year or so, because I did some searches, yeah. about every year or so, someone on a forum or on Twitter or somewhere will say, hey, remember Lobster Magnet? Lobster Magnet was rad. for instance, on the Urban Dictionary in 2003, someone added the phrase Lobster Magnet.
There it is.
And the definition is the greatest Flash video ever.
Also,
lobster
fused to a magnet bestowing strange powers.
Yes. Yeah,
there it is.
There you go. Or, for instance, I did find a tweet from 10 years ago of a friend of mine recommending the Albino Black Sheep page to a friend.
Amazing.
Yeah. So, you know, it just came up now and then. One particularly interesting thing I did find was 9 years after this originally was released, on scienceblogs.com, there was an interview with Ben Apgar.
Okay.
Who was described as apparently Canadian and unemployed.
Okay.
And I'm actually going to link this on the site because it's a pretty in-depth interview, just talking about, like, you know, why the Flash was made.
Uh-huh.
You know, like, what's cool about lobsters? Tell us about magnets.
Uh-huh.
And Ben Apgar replies in the most internet jokey joke way.
Great. I mean, that's really what you want.
Yeah, but also like, there's a note of bitterness. When discussing... So he's asked, how rich are you because of Lobster Magnet? And as part of his answer, he said, looking back, there are things I could have done differently. Using MS Paint to capture an ICANN has magnet onto a picture of a lobster I found in an image search. Or better yet, if someone else did that, and I just downloaded it and made an ICANN has magnet website featuring amusing lobsters, it would have been a lot less work. It would also have been a million times as profitable, apparently.
Whoa. Okay, I mean...
It's... it's interesting, yeah. Also, we learn something about Gary, which is a quote, Gary, and again, spelled with three R's, gave up trying to get his parents' car onto two wheels a long time ago, and is now pretty much a full-fledged do-gooder, doing good in the world, leadership training and public speaking. He just headed off to India and then Haiti until the spring. He still plays guitar, though not always as loudly as in Lobster Magnet.
Wow, okay.
And this is from 2009, so goodness knows
what he's doing now.
Yeah. I have no idea what Ben is doing now either. That is the last communique I can find from him.
In 2009?
2009, yeah.
Nearly 10 years ago.
Well, if he does have an online presence, then it's not anything to do with any of his old Flash identity, as far as I can tell.
Okay.
So I think he's probably just getting on with life somewhere.
Fair enough.
He left an interesting legacy. As a side note, so Lobster Stick to Magnet came out in 2000. Around 2000, he also uploaded a few other Flashes to Newgrounds.
Uh-huh.
One of which, Chinese Restaurant, has over 100,000 views because... as far as Ben claims, it was the first ever music video uploaded to Newgrounds. So that might be a topic for a future episode.
Yeah, definitely.
But yeah, just an interesting early. It's weird when we do these research things for stuff so old, because you know, this was half of this guy's life ago.
Yeah, and now he's just, from what we can tell, he's just
he might be married with kids. He might be a dude who
happens to make lobster magnets.
Yeah, he you know, he might be a Canadian MP. We just don't know.
Wow, that would be wild.
I don't think he is. At least nothing came up along those lines if you just Google his name.
I don't know about this guy's policies, but did you see Lobster Magnet? He's got my vote.
Oh yeah, that's got NDP written all over it.
Absolutely.
Hi, Canadian listeners. But yeah, so that was Lobster Magnet. It's fun. It's short. Thank you, ZS, for bringing it to our attention.
Yeah.
I want to close out the Flash R by answering a question that I know some of you listeners, some of you Flashketeers will have, which is, is there any connection between lobsters and magnets?
Well, yeah. I mean, let us know if there is.
I'm afraid there is.
What?
Some species of lobster migrate using magnetism just like birds.
What?
They have internal compasses that help them find their way.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Did they know? Do you think they knew?
I don't know. There's no mention of actual lobster magnetism in the interview that isn't jokey. And the... you know, and the handful of science articles I could find on the topic are from the mid-2000s. So I don't know. If you're a marine biologist... And you're a loyal listener, then please email in, flashinthepancast@gmail.com, and tell us about lobsters and or magnetism.
That'll be cool if there are marine biologists that listen to us.
Yeah, it would. Yeah, so now it's time for some comments.
Okay.
So the first one is one of only four comments on the Albino Black Sheep upload.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Three of them are just bots.
Oh.
So this is literally the only human comment on the Albino Black Sheep upload, which you can take.
All right, yeah. So it's from Olivia, like 10 years ago. I remember when I first found this video in 2001. I think it has actually influenced my taste in music. What a classic.
What a classic. Nice. And the rest of these are from the Newgrounds upload. Mm-hmm. Where Lobster, in 2007, gave it 5 out of 5 and said, classic. I don't remember how many years ago I first saw this, but it still rams throat hardcore.
That's a odd comment to make.
that's such an unpleasant turn of phrase.
Also biased.
Yes. Well, I mean, do we know if Lobster Magnet was the impetus for Were Lobster's username?
It could have been.
You know, maybe Were Lobster is the unwritten sequel to Lobster Magnet.
Ooh.
After gaining magnet powers, it then bites a man.
Wait, so hang on. So wait, he becomes like half man, half lobster magnet? No, he turns into a lobster magnet man.
When it's high tide.
Yeah.
He has to live near rock pools.
And can't go anything near anything metal.
Yeah, has a fear of boiling water.
Mm-hmm. April 14th.
Jay Jostack, I think.
April 14th, 2004. 2 out of 5, oh dear. WTF, how was the score so high? WTF, I hate when this happens. I see so many decent flashes being blammed, mainly my own. Oh. And then something like this gets on. Grr. Ah, I can't stand it.
Wow. Dr. Dumas on the same day in 2004 gave it 2.5 stars,
mm-hmm.
said, amazing. Jusostak, it's not your fault you suck.
Anyway,
the movie was kind of funny. I laughed. Good enough for me.
not good enough to be more than 2.5 stars out of 5.
Nope.
But it was good enough.
Look, Dr. Dumas at least liked it more than Jusostak.
Yeah.
Yeah. And finally...
we've got Andy Mann, April 14th, 2004. This movie is awesome, and so are you. I was so upset when your site went down, because I loved all the movies you had up there. Not to mention this is one of my favourite Flash movies ever. I'm glad to see that Lobster Magnet is back around for me to see again. You need to put up your other stuff here too, so I can enjoy them once again. So there was other stuff that was also on the website that's missing.
Is, as with a lot of these early creators, not everything was archived. Given that... Given that our creator appears to have disappeared off the internet, at least in any traceable form, we may never see them.
Yep. They say that nothing really ever truly disappears from the internet, unless you were a really obscure content creator like 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Then maybe your stuff becomes hard to find.
Yeah. But yeah, that was Lobster Magnet. It was a nice time.
It was fantastic.
Yeah. Next up, we have another suggestion, but this was brought to my attention by Flashketeer and listener Inji, friend of the show.
Oh, hi, Inji.
Yeah, hi, Inji. And it is zooming 9 years forward from 2000. In 2009, tail end of 2009, we have Dr. Mario.
I am Dr. Mario, and I am saving lives. I look different in this game.
I lost my hat, got a coat, Dr. White stethoscope.
I am Dr. Mario, and I prescribe high fives. Latter's the best medicine, so...
You fell down.
In the Mushroom Kingdom, I'm the finest doc by far. I got my degree by watching House and Scrubs and ER. Brightly colored pills, they'll cure all your ills. Just as long as you've got fever or the chills.
Take off your pants. Good. Now, let's see. Turn your head and cough. Okay, now do me.
Please?
Does it hurt to pee?
No.
Is it hard to see?
No. I
am dying. The medium came a long way in 9 years,
didn't
it?
Yeah. Takes me back.
Yeah. So, I'm just going to preface this by saying that Dr. Mario, really good game.
Yeah. Yes, it is.
Like, just one of the best puzzle games ever. I love it so much. And this is a really unpleasant tribute.
It really is. To be expected for the time period.
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah, it's definitely in that vein of the classic gaming webcomics, which is, what if video game like real life?
It would be bad. Really bad. For a lot of different reasons.
Yeah, so it turns out that Dr. Mario, who is Mario, but he's a doctor.
Yeah.
According to the certificate on his wall in one scene, he has a certificate of pasta.
I missed that. Wow.
Which I hope to someday earn.
Yeah, me too.
You have to study under Antonio Carluccio for many years, work in the Sicilian pasta mines, and backpack across Tuscany. Just, for a break.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's fun. It's funny. Yeah, it's crude. Mm. Half of the joke is it's Mario, and he's saying the names of sexually transmitted infections.
He is, yeah.
Which is, that works.
He also lists some other...
Oh, many other diseases.
Other diseases that can't be gotten like that.
Yeah,
which are also
mononucleosis.
Very, very bad.
Meningitis.
Yeah. Scoliosis.
Yep. Yeah. If there's one thing that that comedy music fans love, it is long lists of things that are meant to rhyme.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You know, that's a tradition dating back to Tom Lehrer and the Elements song.
Yep.
To the amateur transplants.
Yep.
And then now to this.
Mm.
As a song, what do you think?
I mean, it's
the tune
the Dr. Mario theme.
It's the Dr. Mario theme, like, with lyrics, yeah.
You can't really go wrong.
No, it's very catchy.
Expertly composed, of course.
By Hip Tanaka.
As crude as the lyrics are, The usage of the lyrics is good.
Okay, what do you mean by that?
I mean, like, just like the specific the way he specifically chose all the different rhyming couples was good.
Yeah,
that's what I mean.
It was interesting how, so usually with comedy music, like, you'll get your punchline at the end of a couplet.
Yeah.
With this one, like, there are a lot of just because of the way that the song is structured,
yeah,
there are a lot of jokes kind of like on the downbeats and like hidden in longer yeah parts where he's talking about how he learned medicine from watching House and Scrubs and ER.
Yeah.
like that's just kind of quickly dashed off as an yeah aside. Whereas in something like, I guess the most obvious comparison would be Weird Al Yankovic's Sublime, Like a Surgeon, his immortal parody of Madonna's Like a Virgin. Like, that's much more in the solid, you know, like, rhyme joke kind of thing.
I think it's the limitation of what the artist was doing, because, like, well, in both cases, because Like a Virgin is a very kind of, and it's got a fairly standard verse chorus structure.
Yeah, it's a classic pop song.
Dr. Mario is a tune from a video game.
Yes.
So he
from
has
a puzzle game as well.
So he has to try and work with that.
Yeah.
And try and, like, work in all the different things that he wants to, all the different jokes he wants to tell, and all the things that he thinks it would be funny for Dr. Mario to say in situations for him to be in. I think it's definitely more difficult to do it in this instance because, unlike, you know, things that Weird Al would do, there's no verse chorus. It's just, this is how the tune goes.
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah. You only get, like, the like, kind of the diversion from the main theme, like, the one time.
Yeah.
And before returning back to, like, what the main theme itself.
I get you.
Yeah.
Yeah, so what you're saying is, as a piece of lyric writing, if not songwriting, it's pretty good.
It's actually really well structured lyrically.
Yeah.
It's actually really well done.
Yeah. Had you watched this way back when it came out?
I am much more familiar just with the song on its own rather than...
Yeah, well, because you're the original gamer girl.
Yeah.
We all know this.
Yeah.
This is well documented.
No, I'm much more familiar with the... No, I'm when I say... I mean, this version of the song,
okay,
Dr. Mario, I'm much more just familiar with just the music part of it than the video, but
okay,
I'm sure I've watched the... I definitely watched the video many times.
Yeah, it was, like, one of the biggest
yeah
things being shared around,
yeah,
at least my online circles back in the day.
It was, yeah. It was shared around, like, probably pretty much every online circle that existed, probably.
Yeah, and one major reason, which we haven't touched on yet, is the animation.
Yeah,
it's good.
It's really good.
It's fun. It's got a fun style. It uses the medium well.
Yeah,
you know, like, you can tell he kind of knows the limitations of the program, and he's doing his best within that.
Mm.
You got some fun, kind of cliched now, but yeah, but back in the day, you know, in the heyday, sort of like Newgrounds yeah reaction faces,
yeah,
where like it's just the shot of the face, and the face is hideously ugly to convey an emotion, you know, in the style of like the old video game awesome stuff, which
yeah
we've talked about before,
yeah,
and no doubt many others,
many others.
But yeah, it's fun, it's good.
I mean, Mario does just take his clothes off at one point.
There is that,
but,
yes.
But
it's for a joke. It's a jokey clothes off. It's not meant to be like, hey, audience, I know what you want to see.
Like, all you see is like Mario's nipples. That's it.
I mean,
which is something that Nintendo decided to officially show us many, many years later. So.
Are you saying that the animator Dark V was really ahead of his time?
That's what I'm saying.
Trailblazer.
That's what I'm saying. Or am I saying Nintendo saw this and went, we're going to come back to that?
I mean, there is literally a zero chance that anyone, that like a good chunk of the people at Nintendo, especially Nintendo of America, did not see this.
Reggie Fils-Aimé may have seen this.
I hope so.
I just had a really, really funny mental image of Shigeru Miyamoto humming the Dr. Mario theme and then scrunching his face up because he remembered it.
He's like, oh no.
Oh no.
Why did they give Yoshi rabies?
Not my boy.
Yeah, and there are some cute little references to, like, the games as well. You know, like the viruses that he's fighting, that he's promising to protect you against, are just two of the viruses from the game. When he tells Princess Peach that she has crabs, it's one of the crabs from the Mario Bros. Game.
It had to be.
Of course,
It absolutely, it could, if it had been anything else, it'd be like, the whole fucking cartoon's a waste. That if it wasn't that, then I would have been like, no.
As a firm deal breaker.
0 out of 10.
Yeah.
Sorry.
It's okay. Yeah. Other small things. And we didn't mention that the reason that Mario disrobes is because he asks Wario to do it for a full checkup.
Questions. Many, many and varied questions about that.
I mean, the line is take off your pants. Good. Now let's see. Turn your head and cough.
Okay. Now do me.
Yeah. Which is that's just a fun. That's like an old dad joke almost.
Yeah.
We do get a shot when we do see Mario's ass crack. We also see that he has a Zelda tramp stamp.
Tramp stamp. Oh god.
Which is, you know, how could you resist drawing Mario's ass and not giving him some kind of tramp stamp?
I mean, he had his official tattoo lasered off. So
yes, his tribal tattoo,
which we brought up before, and I'm sure it was me that brought it up before as well.
But yeah, it's good. It's fun. Yeah, like every now and then, like I do still get those lyrics stuck in my head when I think about Dr. Mario, because that's what happens when an earworm gets lyrics added to it.
I still remember pretty much verbatim all of what the same guy did Super Mario Bros. 3. I remember like all the lyrics to that one.
Well, we're about to talk about it.
Okay.
Because that's a good way to segue into some Flash. Yeah, so let's start with the music side of things. This is by Brentel Floss, who we actually mentioned in a previous episode.
Yeah, let's not get into the minor beef I had with him like 10 years ago.
Yes, okay. beefs aside, Brentel Floss is and was a pretty popular and successful kind of nerdcore musician.
Yeah.
And his shtick, especially back in the day, was to take video game song and add lyrics to it.
Yes.
Usually they're comedy lyrics. Sometimes they're oddly sweet.
Yeah, like he did like a... Well, he did a cover of...
The one I'm thinking of is he did the Final Fantasy main theme and made it about like the joy of nostalgia and saving the world as a kid.
That's good.
Which is really sweet.
The one I'm thinking of is he did a cover of David Bowie.
Really?
Space Odyssey.
He did Space Odyssey?
Yeah.
What?
And he made it about Star Fox, and it was kind of great.
Okay. See, the weirdest cover version I know of his is, have you seen Boogie Nights?
The movie, no.
Okay, you should see Boogie Nights. It's fantastic.
Okay.
There's one scene near the end where, like, the classic song Sister Christian is playing.
Uh-huh.
And Brentel Floss did a version of Sister Christian called Mushroom Kingdom about Mario saving the day.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, I heard his version before I saw Boogie Nights. And so this one, like, pivotal scene in the back of my head, I'm just thinking, Mushroom Kingdom.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's great. But yeah, as with all comedy music, his stuff is pretty hit and miss. The hit's pretty good.
The misses are
pretty tiresome.
Yeah,
but like 2009, 2010, you know, that's when he dropped his What If This CD Had Lyrics album. That's when, you know, that was like Brentel Floss top of the game kind of era.
Yeah.
And this music video like helped propel him to nerd stardom.
Hugely.
Yeah. The animator. This is an even more interesting story.
Okay. Right.
So this was animated by Dark V. That's Dark with a Q.
Interesting.
And Dark V had a good number of animations, had a lot of video game parody stuff, a lot of jokey joke stuff.
Yeah.
Stuff kind of dried up around the mid 2010s because he was joining the animation industry.
Right.
If you look at his Newgrounds page, you might see something from 2014 with a little sort of black cat with a red cape called I Love You Mau Mau. That was the original concept that would later become a Cartoon Network original series, Mau Mau and the Heroes of Pure Heart.
I was going to say, why does Mau Mau ring a bell?
Mau Mau and the Heroes of Pure Heart is... It's a Cartoon Network show about a cat who, along with his friend Badgerclops and a tiny shrieking bat, become the police force in a town of horrible little fantasy animals.
I vaguely remember this. And vaguely.
I mean, it's only like a year old.
Yeah.
And it's pretty good.
Yeah.
It's fun. It's sweet. And yeah, that's what Parker Simmons does now.
Cartoon Network.
He is a Cartoon Network creator. Which, coming from, you know, coming from doing little video game parody animations, is really cool.
That is, yeah, yeah.
And yeah, I don't know. It's really neat when, like, not only, okay, this person from way back when, like, made good, but this person from way back when made good and, like, did a thing that I've seen.
Yeah. That's always, like, when you're able to, like, draw the line between thing from that person I saw when I was, like, a teen, early 20s, to thing I've just seen recently, same person, that's always, like, kind of great, also kind of bizarre.
It really is, yeah. I mean, I still think the most bizarre thing is that Tessa Thompson is an extra in Dr. Tran.
Yeah, like, what?
I mean, that I have to mentally unpack every time I remember
Every time, yeah.
But yeah, Parker Simmons, Mau Mau. If you like kids' cartoons about, like, fun fantasy violence and friendship,
yeah.
Then, yeah, you should watch Mau Mau. It's good.
What's Brentalfloss doing now? Same old thing, or...?
Brentalfloss right now is still doing the same old thing. He did the intro theme to the very popular podcast Schmanners, which is part of the McElroy Empire.
Yeah, okay. All
right. And he's also done, you know, music inspired by recent video games. Like, he did a Breath of the Wild song.
He did?
Yeah. Oh. He also did a 2018 DK rap, which...
Where are they now?
Yeah.
Well, we know about Donkey Kong and Diddy.
We do.
The other ones,
He helped make, a party game called Use Your Words a while ago.
Oh.
Which,
okay.
I vaguely remember. He also, does a couple of podcasts on the Max Fun Network.
Okay.
And apparently he is currently writing a musical version of Star Trek II: The Wrath of Khan.
Well. I hope that goes well.
Yeah. Why not?
I don't know anything about Star Trek. Well, I do know.
Have you not seen Star Trek II?
No.
Oh, it's like that. No, that's like one of the few Star Trek films that is like legit a good film.
Well, it's an even numbered one, so.
That's the legend.
Yeah. That is the legend.
Yeah, anyway, so that's some flash art.
Yeah.
I think it's time for some Dr. Mario comments.
Okay.
Some Dr. Mario comments.
All right, yeah.
You want to start us off?
Okay.
So these are all from the Newgrounds upload.
To Gamer X8.
Yeah, or maybe Gamer Times 8?
Gamer Times 8.
8 gamers. It's too many.
November 11th, 2009, 5 out of 5. What just happened? Wait a minute, I just messed up. That just messed up. I have no idea how you thought of the song. It's just pretty messed. Also, you made Mario extremely gay and the Nintendo characters dumb. Okay.
Alright.
Okay.
Moving on.
Yeah, let's...
Joseph, AS1. gave it 5 out of 5 on on November the 11th, 2009, mm-hmm. said, "Excellentemente! I love it, lol, haha, keep it like this." All in caps.
I mean, they did keep it like that. It didn't change it, as far as we're aware. Yeah. It wasn't changed from the upload in 2009, so it was kept like that.
I think it was pretty excellentemente.
Danny P, December 1st, 2009, didn't like it that much. 2.5 out of 5.
Oh no!
Said meh. That wasn't even the song from Dr. Mario. Yes, it was. What? Animation was pretty good. I didn't find it very funny though. The general idea of Mario calling himself a doctor with no medical background is good, but it's been done before, and it's harder to laugh at an overall joke than smaller ones. Even before people flagged this review for actually being a review and not a blind praise.
Yeah, the animator actually responded to that one saying, "How the hell is that not the song from Dr. Mario? You can't just say things."
I mean, it's not wrong. It's not. It is. The song is in Dr. Mario.
Yeah.
It's quite famously in Dr. Mario. God.
Yeah. Finally, Nigachi Huono-san.
Uh-huh.
Who I should point out had an egregiously My Little Pony avatar.
Yeah.
In 2011, gave it 2.5 out of 5 and said, "You suck dinosaur dick and balls. Pretty damn funny."
Mixed messages.
Very mixed messages.
Not sure. Did they like it or not?
I don't know. Clearly, they're ambivalent about dinosaur dick and balls.
But it's pretty damn funny.
Yeah.
Okay. So, the moral of the story is Dr. Mario is not a real doctor. Not let him touch your genitals.
Don't let him touch any part of you. Especially under the current climate.
Oh, it's not like we can get to fucking see any doctor at the moment, Tom.
Yeah. Anyway.
Moving on.
We have one more cartoon.
Yes.
Which is...
We do.
Which was your selection from our list.
It was. Yeah.
You want to give us a little intro?
So, it's the fucking Laser Collection.
It's the Laser Collection. We're going to watch the Laser Collection.
Yes, we are.
Wish us luck.
All right, it's time to save the city. Hwah! The hell? Hwah! The hell is going on? How do I shot wet? Oh my god, it's Alfred Molina!
Dr. Octagonopus!
Oh my god, I can't wait to eat this watermelon. I just hope that
mysterious thing
doesn't happen to me again.
Have you...
Wow. That was the entire collection.
It was.
The entire collection, is... taken as a whole, is... a surprising journey.
It really is, isn't it?
So I was only aware of a couple of these.
Mm.
I was aware of the original "I'm a Fire in My Laser."
Yeah,
way back in the day, back in the early days of the 4chan.
Yeah, I mean that is where this originates.
Yeah,
yeah.
And I was aware of Dr. Octagonopus.
Yes.
And I other than that, the Laser Collection just passed me by.
A lot of people, I think, saw the first one, and that was it.
Which is interesting, because the scale of it and the scope
only
increase.
Yeah.
So this is, what, from about 2007 till...
Yeah, so it starts in 2007, and is created over a span of, like...
So this was between 2007 and 2015.
Yeah.
That's 8 years.
Yeah.
And a lot changes over 8 years, isn't it?
Yeah, but also a lot stays the same.
Also a lot stays the same, yeah. But I kind of want to say it's brave. It's not. It's bold.
Right.
It's bold to take exactly one joke.
Yeah.
And then spin it out. And iterate and iterate and iterate and explore every angle of that one 10-second joke for over 20 minutes worth of content.
And over a span of 8 years.
Over a span of 8 years.
Yeah.
Like, that takes some absolute cast iron balls.
Yeah, I mean, that's up there with Arthur House the Movie 3 levels of...
Yeah. I mean, I was going to say, it reminds me most, actually, of the Demented Cartoon Movie, when all viewed together. The Demented Cartoon Movie, which was one of our earliest endurance runs. Which was a collection of just the same jokes over and over for a full half hour.
Yeah.
This is
one joke.
it's one joke that becomes a premise that is then spun out and spun off and becomes a massive collaboration effort.
It does, yeah.
Between, you know, like I believe it's the fifth collection becomes a who's who of, like, internet video people.
Yeah.
Which is just wild to me, because that would have been in, like, 2012 or so.
Yeah.
So, should we start at the beginning?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's all beginning.
So, style-wise, it's all stick figures. Very simple, very, you know, like flash doodles and so on.
Mm.
And every sketch? Every sketch ends with the laser being fired and the blah, and that's it.
That's it.
Occasionally the laser comes from an unexpected place.
Yeah. And then,
So, like, what dates the first one the most, being 2007, is that Colin Mochrie shows up at the beginning.
He does.
Thus thematically linking this with the then dated animation style.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
He
does then show up again in, I think, the second one.
He does show up again in the second one as a fake out.
Yes.
But yeah, so we've got, we've got Spider-Man, we've got not Dr. Octopus, but Dr. Octagonopus, which I like to believe is a fusion of Dr. Octopus and the rap character Dr. Oxygon.
Okay.
Who you may not be familiar with, but Dr. Oxygon, pretty fun rap music from the I believe the 90s to the early 2000s.
Okay.
Kind of a horrorcore supervillain shtick.
Okay.
Similar to like MF Doom.
Alright.
No? Nothing?
No.
Okay, fine. Nope. Anyway.
not aware.
Anyway, Dr. Octagonopus, who becomes the most powerful recurring character.
Yes.
Introduced
shortly after seeing Spider-Man, and he almost says, "How do I shot web?"
Yes, which was an internet meme at the time.
It is an ancient meme. And then he says, "Oh my God, it's Alfred Molina."
Yes.
And then it's Dr. Octagonopus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dr. Octagonopus outlasted Alfred Molina being a household name.
Yeah, he
which,
did.
Which was only brief.
Yeah.
I wonder what Alfred Molina's doing now.
Something entertaining, hopefully.
Yeah. Anyway, set collection episode 2. The animation is slightly better.
A little bit, yeah.
Robin Williams shows up. We get our first and only gay joke.
Yeah.
Which is just some guy calls Flubber gay and then gets lasered.
That's it.
That's all right, fine.
That's all right, yeah.
Remarkable restraint.
Yeah, I know. The whole thing kind of, in a way, shows a kind of remarkable restraint.
Yeah. It's interesting, yeah. Again, so there are lots of things which date each episode. One of them is the collection. The second part contains a skit which is set to a piano version of the song "Southern Cross," which was used in a lot of comedy videos at the time.
Yeah.
You know, we also get the first Harry Potter.
Oh yeah.
Joke, which is Chupus Dewoopus, because, you know, Harry Potter spells.
That's how it works.
Yeah. Pooper remove
me. Yeah. Vanish me pooper.
Vanish me pooper.
I'll never forget.
Vanish me pooper.
Never forget. Vanish me pooper.
Yeah, and then right at the end, the creator himself addresses us on camera, kind of dressed like the Nostalgia Critic.
Yeah, I was going to say.
But then the camera, and he sort of thanks you for for watching, and then it zooms out and he's got no trousers on. Classic game.
Classic.
Next.
Also says, why did it take so long to make? Because I procrastinated. And yeah, that's a mood.
Yeah. Episode 3, getting a bit more in-depth now.
Yeah.
We've got a detective. We've got you know, he's gonna crack the case of all the explosions. He's got like a police chief with a big moustache, and the joke with him is that he has a mug which says "I hate Mondays." Then the next shot it says "I hate Tuesdays." Then "I hate Wednesdays." Then "I hate sand," which is the best one.
Yeah.
Then later on it says "I hate polar bears." "I hate dolphins," and then finally "I hate women."
Ah, I missed that one.
Yeah, that's the only one that doesn't change from shot to shot, which is weird. Anyway, so there is a story arc over the third collection, yeah, which is the detective tracking down the good doctor.
Yeah.
Turns out that the detective's last name is Octagonopus, and then he is drawn in and turned by his charismatic father, who tells him to embrace the feeling inside him and feel it running down his thighs.
Yes. It's foreshadowed by none of the characters being able to pronounce the detective's last name.
Yep.
They're both like...
Yeah, exactly. That's actually pretty smart. We've got a proper credit sequence for the third one.
Yeah.
Even with a joke credit, Tim Kish is credited as Tim Gorilla Fist Kish. we've got another Harry Potter joke.
Yeah.
We've got, I've written car beans, and I don't know why.
I couldn't tell you. I don't know why. I don't know why you've written that either, Tom.
Okay. All right. Look, a lot happened in the last 20 minutes,
happen.
Okay?
Yeah.
Then we actually get, like, some fun fight scenes between the detective and Dr. O.
Yeah.
We get a prerequisite, I'm guessing circa 2008-2009, Twilight joke. In which
a monkey poos on his face.
In which a spider monkey shits on his face and he licks up the shit. Because, flash animations, you can only go so long
before there's
just someone covered in shit.
Also, literally taking a shit on Twilight, which was, you know, just a dumb thing.
Yeah, and also there is a sketch where the punchline is not the laser firing.
Yes.
Which is the genie with the dirty mind, which is just a really stupid little sketch that becomes 10 times funnier because it bucks the trend so much.
Yeah.
And as these go on, right, the more sketches deviate from the formula,
yeah,
and actually approach the punchline or detour around the punchline in more and more creative ways, it actually becomes pretty satisfying.
Yeah.
What isn't satisfying is the fourth installment, which is a self-parody all done in scribble vision,
yeah,
where the voiceover is just clearly not interested in anything that's going on desperate for ideas in a rather cruel self-parody.
Yep.
Which is great because juxtaposed with part 5, which not only has its own full theme song with the lyrics, but like we said, involves a who's who of internet flash people. You've got Thomas Scar on there. You've got Jason Steele, creator of Charlie the Unicorn, episode pending. Robert Benfer, creator of Clay World,
episode pending.
you've got like a dozen people whose names have been in 100 other videos. It's actually kind of really impressive
how many
people came together for it. We finally get a fart joke in number 5.
Oh yeah, it does like this big reveal for the fart joke as well. It's like, now the moment you've all been rubbing your rhubarb for, I believe is the phrase.
Yep.
And then there's a fart joke.
And then which is appropriately spectacular.
Yes, it really is.
Yeah. I'm just running through the stuff I remember because each bit that I mention, imagine two or three just straight up people getting laser faced.
Like that is like about 90% of the 20 minutes.
Yeah, yeah. Tomskar has one sequence about someone who jumps off a building. And then someone's just like monologuing about how amazing it was to watch.
And it's Tomskar doing the monologue of, oh my god, did anyone else see that? Get me an ambulance for me, because I'm about to have a heart attack.
Yeah. There's a Toy Story bit for some reason. I don't know.
Yeah.
we see the first instance in this series, at least, of a proper Newgrounds face, as we mentioned earlier. Where the cat tells the guy to be quiet.
There is one in part three where it zooms in on the guy holding the mug's face. Is that
you're right?
Yeah.
We also get two extremely good lines in part five, which are, "I am a dirty boy. It's time to play piano." And also, ghosts aren't dolphins.
Ghosts aren't dolphins.
No. And then the dolphin swims away. The dolphin's name was Nipslip. Like none of this, none of this is sophisticated.
No,
humor.
It's not.
Like, but... this is like sub-viz levels of...
But that's why it's great.
Yeah. Number six, again, we've got a theme song, but a different kind of theme song. The theme song does mention that it's episode 7 rather than episode 6.
But it says episode 6.
Which I guess
6.
Is the joke.
It's the joke, yeah.
Yeah. It's introduced as a film by Pixar, which I liked.
That was good, yeah.
Yeah, and there is a recurring skit about a pepper battle.
Yeah.
Which I guess, you know, there's a fun fake out, and then it turns out he's allergic, you know.
Yeah.
There's an extended James Bond thing that doesn't really go anywhere.
Yeah.
There are, however, a couple of truly excellent skits in the last one, which are, the small child with the trombone. And the thing is that, like, you've been primed for the last 20 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, okay, he's going to play the trombone, and the laser's going to come out of the trombone.
Yeah.
And so it plays with that. It builds, and it builds, and it builds. And it keeps faking out, and it keeps faking out, and it keeps faking out. And then he gets hit by a piano. And then the person who dropped the piano on him, whose excuse is he doesn't have any hands.
It's Dr. Octagonopus.
Gets hit by the piano again.
Yes, so he appears, and you're like, oh, okay, here we go. And then he's like, I don't have any hands, and he gets hit by a piano.
Yeah, and then a third person gets hit by a piano.
And that's it.
Yeah, that's
there's
it.
There's no laser.
Yeah. And it's a breath of fresh air.
And that's the end.
And that's it, yeah.
And then you've got another on-screen bit from Dom.
Yeah.
And he...
And he
quotes Obama.
He quotes Obama, claiming that he doesn't know if sneezing is real.
And he's wondering if everyone is messing with him.
Yeah.
And it's not even funny anymore.
I know. Gosh, 2015. Yeah. It's weird, though, because compared to the previous bits to camera, like, you can tell that he has aged.
Yes.
You can tell he has aged. He is in a new house.
Yep.
And also, like, just in terms of the way that he tells the jokes.
Yeah.
The sense of humor you can feel shifting over the 8 years,
yeah.
Which I think is really interesting.
Yeah. Mm.
And the final his delivery at the end almost becomes kind of John Mulaney-esque.
A little bit.
You know,
yeah.
he's got
a little bit.
Yeah, he's got that. It's just kind of neat.
It's his delivery, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of neat to see someone's style changing,
yeah.
Not in real time, but in
over the course of the animations he made over like 8 years,
yeah. In refracted time,
yeah.
It's neat. It kind of reminds me in a thematic way, at least. Of growing up, we had this VHS copy, which is basically like clips from Billy Connolly
stand-up bits
from like 1975 to like 1999.
Mm-hmm.
And just seeing his style change and seeing him change as a person was so weird.
It's... I think...
And this is weird as well. It's just... Yeah.
I think that's one of the most interesting things with, like, people who create content, and they keep creating content over a number of years, and when it's all available online, you can watch all of it and literally, like, in a lot of cases, literally see that person
age,
and see how their sensibilities change, how their sense of humor has changed.
It's really interesting. It's
really, I think that is probably the most interesting thing about doing this kind of thing, with a series of something, is just like seeing like where this person went or where they chose to take something.
Yeah. I think so. Yeah, and that's basically it. Like the animation style diversifies as more and more people are brought onto the project.
Yeah.
like the baseline level of animation quality and also humor quality.
Yeah.
Only increases. Yeah. Really.
Pretty much. I think the last one is a little bit of a dip in quality.
The last one's a little bit weak. You can kind of feel that it's the last one.
Yeah.
But it does still have a couple of really great bits.
Which is just fantastic.
And honestly, thematically, the best way to end the series is not even to use the laser.
That's how you hammer the final nail in the coffin. Like, no, we're not doing it anymore. That's it. Done. Finito.
But yeah, that was the laser collection.
That was it.
It sounds like we have just enough time for you to tell us a little bit about it.
I think we do have a little bit of time to learn some things about the laser collection in the segment that we usually call Flash. So the original laser collection, at least, maybe was true for the rest of them, was uploaded to Newgrounds in early 2007. By DFear331.
Yep.
Difficult exactly to say when in 2007 it was uploaded, because the original creator, Dom Fira, has stripped it, has just taken it. It's private on his YouTube channel, and it's not available on Newgrounds anymore.
Yeah, so this is the elephant in the room.
Yeah.
And when we have had this recommended before, when people have been, emailed in or messages saying, hey, you should talk about the laser collection. Shame that it's all taken down now.
So, I mean, there's no, like, official confirmation of why or any kind of official word from the creator. Because we'll get into it in a minute. He's still creating. He's still doing stuff now.
Mm.
But I would say, I think... I would say, I think, speaking as someone who uploaded stuff to the internet and then aged and looked back on stuff I did and went, I don't really want to be associated with that anymore, and like took it down. I think it's probably to do with its association, very close association to 4chan.
Yeah.
And kind of what 4chan was, or what we understood what it was as we got older and what it's become.
Yes.
I would say probably its close association with that would lead him to maybe think twice about being associated with it.
Yeah, I think to briefly editorialize, 4chan was never, ever good.
No way.
But in the decade and a half since its inception, it has only got worse.
It's changed. It was never good.
But it has only got worse.
But it's only gotten worse. And I think as most people who were like, around in like the heyday of 4chan.
Yeah.
So that does include me.
Yep.
Like, I look back on it, I'm like, wow, I really wish I hadn't been. So yeah.
See, I was never brave enough to actually go on 4chan myself, but I reaped the benefits of seeing parts of it filter out of the site.
I think if I remember rightly, I initially went onto it as a dare. And then, like...
Oh, bless.
I know, yeah. And then just kind of went back to it for some fucking reason. I don't know.
I think what saved me most was... Because obviously I couldn't look at it on the family computer. No. But it was when I got to university. Finally, I got my own space. Got my own room on campus. Yeah. And the entire university's IP was blocked from visiting the site. Yeah. Because some previous person had uploaded something illegal. So yeah, I was kind of... In hindsight, I kind of dodged a bullet.
Not a good place to go.
No.
Do not go.
No.
He took it all down, and I'm going to guess It's the association with 4chan. It's probably what caused him to take it down.
Yeah, I can see that.
So, if we look at the Newgrounds page for Domfira, it first uploaded in 2006, and then kind of uploaded again 2007, 2008, and then sporadically through the 2010s until 2017, which was his last upload.
How, like, what was the ratio of laser collection stuff to all the other stuff?
It's difficult to say without seeing the laser collection in with everything else.
Okay.
But there's still an abundance of stuff on Newgrounds that isn't that. There's still a fair few Newgrounds submissions left. There are more YouTube uploads that from around that time than there are Newgrounds submissions. And that's actually what's more interesting, honestly, is the YouTube channel. Because if you look at it from the oldest video going forward, you can see that he gradually just almost entirely abandons animation altogether in favor of, like, live-action skits, which somewhat resemble what Tom Scar was doing around the same time, which makes sense because, like, Asdiff Movie is probably definitely inspired, at least in part, by this, because it came out like a year later than the first Laser
Collection.
So this
came before Asdiff Movie.
This came before Asdiff Movie. 2007 was at Laser Collection 1. Asdiff Movie 1 was 2008. And then, obviously, like, Tom Scar then went on to be part of Laser Collection 5. So,
yeah.
So, also uploaded to YouTube, not on Newgrounds, 3 animated episodes of a series called Back to School. So, he uploaded this, I think, he uploaded an animation called Earth to Newgrounds, which is also available on YouTube. And then after that, he uploaded the 3 Back to School episodes, which is immediately then followed by a short film called Content, which he actually won an award for at the Buffer Festival for excellence in writing.
What festival?
Buffer Festival. I don't know.
Okay.
It's probably like Buffer, like Video Buffer. I guess it was like something that happened in 2017.
Yeah, I was trying to set you up for a Buffer D's Nuts thing, but
I'm sorry.
it's fine. I'm leaving this in.
Okay, that's fine. So after Content, he then just starts to upload original music to YouTube, which he eventually produces music videos for.
Okay, so he's really diversified his output.
Yeah, and like all his music is available on like Apple Music and Spotify, and he's also co-hosting a movie review pop culture podcast called Reasonable Beef.
I mean, so is everyone.
So is everyone else. And yeah, if you like look at his like his who he's listed on YouTube as My Pals, it's like Jack and Dean, Film Cow, Tom Scar,
yeah,
a bunch of people who made. Are still making
content,
notable stuff online. So Laser Collection was pretty important, kind of a cornerstone of a lot of stuff that we are still getting now.
Yeah, it kind of, especially with all the collaborators, that's not how you say that word.
Collaborations.
Especially with all the collaborators, it kind of reminds me of when like music people are like, oh yeah, remember that one gig that so and so was at,
yeah.
And so were they, and yeah. Those guys were there as well.
Yeah.
And it's like, or like the Algonquin Rounds Table for the more literary minded Flashketeers out there, you know, like just this conference of like minded, interesting, creative people.
Mm.
Yeah. Wow, that's neat.
Yeah.
That is neat. And honestly, I'll be honest. About 2 minutes in to this, I was dreading what the rest would be. And I'm so relieved that it turned out to actually be pretty good.
Yeah, well, I did, I'll be honest, I did kind of screen it first.
For yourself?
For us. I was like, okay. I'm going to watch and make sure this doesn't get really super shitty. Because if it does, I'm vetoing it.
What? No. Look, that's not stopped us before, and it shouldn't stop us in the future.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true. But yeah, it is
nice. I'm going to eat those words at some point.
It is nice to see that, like we said before, shows a surprising amount of restraint.
Yeah.
And it's cool.
Yeah, okay. Well, well done, Mr. Well Laser done, Collection.
Mr. Fear.
Yeah. So we've got a couple of comments to close
They're
us
all
out.
From YouTube, because as I mentioned, the original Newgrounds and YouTube uploads have been pulled.
Ah.
So these are from the 127 question mark compilation that we watched on YouTube.
Okay then. You want to start us off?
Yes, we've got Sierra Brown from 10 months ago. She says, I remember actually waiting for him to upload the next one. I feel so old. I'm right there with you.
Oof. Ah, Christopher Bayes, 3 years ago, said, the little 8-year-old inside me forced me to rewatch these. What used to pass as entertainment is now garbage to me. Although I'd be lying if I said I didn't get a couple chuckles.
Yeah. Too Anxious to Upload, 2 years ago, said, I remember when these and Azadith were all I watched on YouTube. That was so long ago. Still love these.
Chicken Google Soup, that's a pretty good name, a year ago said, still my favourite old meme.
It is.
I want that on my tombstone.
Yeah. This, dying and being dead, my favourite meme. Gio the Boyo said, the first time I watched these videos, I was 7. I'm now 16.
Oh, Gio the Boyo. It's weird seeing nostalgia from embryos. I don't know if I like that more or less than, like, if you go onto like the YouTube page for, I don't know, like the Killers.
Oh please, the, please,
and there'll
please.
Be there'll be some no. There'll be someone in the comments going, "Ugh, I'm 13 and I hate what music has become. I was born in the wrong generation." It's like on a song from like 2010.
Oh god.
Ah, oh, I only listen to classic rock, you know, like Imagine Dragons. Oh, you can't see this at home, but she has gone bright red just at the thought.
Just at the thought, that makes me feel really fucking old.
Okay, Grandma, let's pivot toward a finale. We have definitely overrun, and it's very late, so unfortunately, we don't have time to read out any particular emails of yours. Though we do very much appreciate and love every one of them and every one of you.
Yeah.
I mean, we did get emails. They were just like, hey, you should watch this. You should watch this. You should watch this.
We'll get to them.
Yeah.
They'll go on the list and we'll cover them later.
I do, however, have a fun prompt for you Flashketeers to email in to flashinthepancast@gmail.com. Because we've been looking at stuff that has... like pretty stood the test of time, aged well, you know, and especially creators that ended up doing really well.
Yep.
And I want to know what stuff from the past, you know, from the long ago, from the before times.
Yeah.
What stuff do you folks think has actually really aged well?
Huh. Okay.
Because we talk a lot about, you know, stuff that was very of its time, stuff that's very much, you know, okay, yeah, they wouldn't make that today.
Yeah.
What's still good?
Ooh.
Or even, what got better?
Now that, if somebody can find something that they think is better now than it was...
when it began?
When it started.
Or when it first aired.
Or whichever. Yeah. Either or, then that... would be really cool to look at.
Yeah, I already have a few in mind, but I'm going to save them for next time.
Ooh.
Yeah, until that time, you can also email other stuff, more suggestions. We love your suggestions.
Yeah.
We love all of you deeply and platonically.
Yes.
Except for you. You know who you are.
They do, though. That's the thing, isn't it?
You can also email to flashinthepancast@gmail.com. You can also find both of us on the internet. You can find Alex on Twitter and YouTube.
Yeah. I am on Twitter, although not a lot at the moment, for many and various different reasons.
Yep.
I am on there, at DEX01. I'm I am on YouTube, although I haven't put anything on there for a real long time now.
For similar reasons.
Well, the reasons are different. There is stuff on a YouTube channel, youtube.com/VNDLP. I've made a bunch of different Let's Play series for kind of old cult classic kind of games. I think they're still pretty good. So if you're looking for something really long, split up into multiple parts to watch now, then you can check those out. Also, I've got music. That's alexvalentine.bandcamp.com. That's also what you have a look for on Spotify, Apple Music.
Hooray!
If those are the things that you use to listen to music on.
How exciting. Yeah, I don't have any particularly exciting projects in the works, but if you want to see me tweeting about the fall of man, then...
That's everyone right now.
It's at Gertrude Perkins, that's Gertrude, P-R-K-N-S, or, if you want, you can follow us on Twitter as a show, which is Flash IT Pancast, that's Flash It Pancast.
We only tweet about podcast episodes, so...
We tweet about other stuff. We will also find a link to a couple of cool Weeble and also Homestar Runner events that happened recently.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, pretty neat stuff.
Yeah, they dropped the whole soundtrack for Homestar Runner onto Spotify.
Yeah.
That was pretty awesome.
Like, 2 decades of Homestar Runner music and is now on Spotify.
Yeah.
And, like, the first 200 Weeble episodes or so are on there now. Not the first 200, and like the first 100 or so Weeble episodes are like being uploaded onto YouTube in chunks.
Oh, okay. So since we went on there, like literally
since our last episode. Yeah,
cool.
So and thank you to the folks who messaged us telling us about that.
Yeah, thank you for that.
Just to take a moment to thank Alicia Goranson for her very kind web hosting services. You can check out her stuff at alicia-goranson.com. This podcast is over, so it's time to say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Until next time.
You've been...
Yeah, I've been Tom.
And I've been Alex.
And until next time... I can't choose.
Go on.
No, I
just
can't...
pick one.
I actually can't choose.
Just pick what you feel is the best one.
Okay, in that case it's going to be... Until next time, don't put lobster on a plate. He'll use his magnet to escape. He'll jump right up and claw your ear. Then he'll bite your eye.
Looks to me. Have a great flash.
Flash in the past.